got here just in the nick of time. What does that make us?
Big damn heroes, sir.
Ain't we just?
The nominations for scripted comedy are Catastrophe, Chewing Gum, This Country, Time Wasters.
Dad, Nancy, it's bad. It's so bad. There's blood everywhere. The bunk beds were a terrible idea. Why did you let us do that? It's so bad!
Hello and welcome to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, a film and TV radio show where a handful of enthusiasts shoot the breeze about all things film and TV. I'm Laura Sampson, and the movie I watch the most times ever is The Neverending Story, 1984. Wolfgang Petersen fantasy movie about saving the land of Fantasia from an evil called the Nothing. A baddie which is actually growing up and losing your imagination in disguise. I know all the lines, I know all the characters, and even though the author of the original book hated the movie, I still love it despite being a huge bookworm. Shoot the Breeze anchorman Marcus E. Acko isn't in the studio today because he's off fraternising with the great and the good at BAFTA and beyond who knows where in Tellyland. Come back to us soon, Marcus. But thanks to the wonders of technology, we'll be catching up with him a bit later. But until then, thank goodness I'm not alone. With me in the studio is... Tell me your name and what movie or TV you watch most times.
Well... I'm David Campbell. I was on the show a few weeks ago, and the movie I have watched a lot of the time, keep going back to it, every time it's on TV I watch it, Princess Bride, another fantasy movie.
Princess Bride, 1980s fantasy movies. We seem to like those quite a lot on this show.
Well, I keep referencing it with it as well, because I also like watching occasionally the Big Bang Theory, and it keeps on coming up there as well. I keep thinking, oh yeah, I need to watch that again. So yeah,
it really does, doesn't it? I haven't up to now been a fan of that, of the Big Bang Theory, but now I know that it's got much more to do with the Princess Bride than I thought it was, and maybe I'll give it another chance. Today's show is a slightly different format than usual, but there's lots coming up. We'll be talking BAFTA TV award nominations, and we'll also be talking about our favourite TV moments of the year and listening to a bit of movie music. And then we will welcome a guest, the Renaissance man in charge of North London's Unrestricted View Film Festival. We'll also chat a bit about some new TV technology that lets people watch together even when they're far apart. And we'll also go through recommendations of things that we think everyone should watch on Netflix, Amazon and other TV platforms. So let's get started. I think we'll begin with film and TV news. This is Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Laura Sampson, and with me in the studio is...
David Campbell.
The BAFTA TV award nominations have been announced. They were announced last week when Daniel Lawrence Taylor, creator of time travel sitcom Time Wasters and erstwhile guest on this show, wonderful guest he was too, when he was nominated for Best Scripted Comedy, we were so delighted that we recorded the moment for posterity, and that was one of the things that you heard on the intro to this show. Well, our anchorman, Marcus E. Acko, was actually at BAFTA when the award nominations were given out, and he recorded it for us there. Daniel is against some stiff competition in that particular category, including the BBC's This Country. Have you seen that, David? It is absolutely hilarious in the most inappropriate type of a way ever. Have you seen This Country?
I haven't watched it all, no. There's a lot of TV I need to catch up on, and it's... on my list, let's put it that way.
My goodness.
iPlayer has got a lot to answer for, I'm telling you.
It really does. Yeah. Also, E4's Chewing Gum, which was written and starring Michaela Coel, which actually started life as a theatre piece, which is how I first saw it. But Chewing Gum, also a brilliant show.
Chewing Gum's great.
It is.
Chewing Gum's great. I mean,
Time Wasters is also great, though.
You should see, they're running at the moment on Channel 4 some adverts for all their box sets, and Chewing Gum comes up on that regularly. And I'm telling you, those little clips that they've got in there, yes, they make you laugh, but there's some even funnier bits in that programme. So, yeah, give it a go. Chewing Gum is great.
But... Time Wasters is better because...
I'm not going to argue with you.
Because Time Wasters has got Daniel Lawrence Taylor in it. When Marcus was kicking around the BAFTA TV Award nominations, as you do, he decided to shoot the breeze with none other than Caitlin Moran, celebrity and also this year BAFTA judge. Shall we see what they said?
Yeah, sure.
That's the structure.
I'm Marcus E. Acko. With me is TV critic and one of the jurors of the Virgin TV must-see moment at the BAFTA Television Awards. Please tell us your name.
I am Caitlin Moran. I'm kind of sad that you didn't wedge into there that I'm also a legend and a lover. Those would be the other two major job descriptions.
Well, if I said lover, there would be some people that would be worried as to how I know that.
That's our secret.
Yes, there you go.
Let's talk TV.
Excellent. So, the must-see moment, this is a new category. I know it was started last year. Tell us more about it for those who don't know what this category is about.
So, Virgin TV must-see moment. Content is very simple. They introduced it last year. It's the only category that viewers can vote for. And the idea is what got you excited last year? Like, you know, big dramas, you know, kind of you have to watch the whole thing, like you get engaged with this stuff. These are the moments that had you going onto your social media and going, oh, you've got to turn the TV on now. You've got to rewind this. Going into work the next day and going, did you see that?
Perfect. In the nominations so far, you had Blue Planet 2.
Yes.
The Mother Pilot Whale. You had Doctor Who, the 13th Doctor Reveal. Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones, Viserion. Oh, this, by the way, spoiler alert.
I know, yeah.
Because
that's trashed most listeners' kind of box set plans for the next 6 months. But guys, yeah. You know, you've got a certain amount of time. You need to watch this stuff when it comes out, or else you're going to get left behind on the conversation. You know this.
But I guess that's why it's a must-see moment, right?
Yes.
It's like, so if you're going to be paying attention to this category, you have to know it's
a It's a must-see moment because by the time the BAFTAs are on the 13th of May, yeah. It will spoil everything for you.
That's
we're going to spoil the hell out of everything. So you must see it now.
Absolutely.
Quickly.
There's Line of Duty as well. There's Love Island, and there's One Love Manchester, Ariana Grande singing One Last Time.
Yes.
It's very BBC heavy. There's a lot of love for BBC.
Well, we do our very best to make it sort of representative across the board. I mean, genuinely, of course, you're sitting there going, it can't all be on one thing. You've got to make sure it's properly diverse. But these were the six moments that caused the most conversation when we were in the room. And you've got the span of, for instance, with the Blue Planet 2 and the mother whale. So that's when the mother whale realises that her baby has died because of plastic pollution. And in terms of change and what that's done since that show went out, they're changing legislation in this country. They're bringing in sort of paid for recycling banks. Hundreds of hotels and bars and restaurants across the country now don't supply plastic straws in their drinks. So this was all off this one moment, this one TV show that the next day people went, I have to change the way that I live because I have seen that whale die. And then on the other hand, you've got something like, Stormzy on Love Island, which, although it seems like, you know, a show full of dim, hot people in pants trying to get off with each other.
I did not say that.
The excitement of the fact that if you were on Twitter, because this is a really modern thing, if you were on Twitter watching Love Island and you were a fan of Stormzy, you saw him tweeting about Love Island, you were like, that's really exciting. Then they read out Stormzy's tweets on Love Island, which is kind of like breaking the fourth wall. This is like real postmodern stuff. And then Stormzy appears on Love Island, like it's magic. So, you know, this is the kind of stuff that makes you talk, where you're like, I've never seen TV like that before, or this TV has broken my heart.
And I was going to ask, what sort of was the criteria for the nominees that you picked?
Well, we had a shortlist of 100, so we sorted out the 100 from what people had talked about the most, so a load of nerds and boffins crunched a huge amount of data about what the biggest conversations had been about online. And then there was a jury panel of pretty much every TV critic in the country. We all sat round and argued for a very long time about what was the best TV. Okay. And then I shouted louder than everybody else.
Okay, which I'm going to come to that in 1 second. Because going through the list, like I said, BBC got a lot of love. Mm. Sky Atlantic got with Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And then ITV2 with Love Island. Mm. What about streaming networks like Netflix and Amazon? I mean, for example, Netflix had Star Trek Discovery, where there was the reveal of Captain Lorca. Hello to Jason Isaac. His true intentions, which
yes.
a lot of people might say that was a must-see moment. And then my co-host would kill me if I don't mention this. Outlander on Amazon.
Yes.
The reunion between Claire Randall and Jamie Fraser. That's everyone that watches Outlander talking about that. How is it that those two didn't make an appearance?
Well, you see, first of all, you've totally engaged with the idea of the Virgin TV must-see moment, which is it's an enormous argument. This is what it should do. It should provoke these kind of conversations. With those, I mean, we had big arguments about Handmaid's Tale and Big Little Lies, which had similarly massive things and which were streamed initially. And it was a combination of, as a drama series, that they sit better in a drama category. We argued about those moments for ages, but it's like, kind of, unless you'd seen the whole series, you wouldn't understand it. Whereas the moments that we've chosen are things that genuinely sort of like stand, you know, you would be able to see them in isolation and go, okay, I can see that that's quite dramatic. And also a lot of it did come down to viewing figures. Like, makes kind sense. Of, you know, you have to, if only like 4,000, 5,000 people have seen something and they might be wanting to watch it later, it's best not to give it an award now. Like, kind of let them catch up with it and let it live in their hearts.
Okay,
rather
what
than on
must
the stage
see,
of BAFTA.
What must-see moment did you want to get in that didn't get nominated?
Oh, Handmaid's Tale. The moment where I'd spoiler it, but there's a moment where a major character is killed in a very brutal way after they discover that she's a lesbian, and that's one of the most heart-stopping things I've seen. Mm. But I can see that sits better in a drama category, because unless you've watched the whole series, it's one of those things where if you're having to really explain what the moment was before you start talking about it, then it's not a must-see moment. It's an amazing drama.
That makes sense. And this category is one that the viewers can actually vote to see who the winner is.
Yep,
right?
So you can go on the website, you can vote for it now. You've got a month to vote for your favourite must-see moment out of all of those, and names will be pulled randomly, and they will get tickets to go to BAFTA.
Oh, nice.
So if Stormzy wins, you'll be there on the night, hugging and shaking Stormzy's hand. And if the whale wins from the Blue Planet, you'll be talking to a very sad whale.
Oh,
so
okay.
I would go and vote now.
I was going to ask, who's going to actually accept the prize after, you know, the winner's been announced?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, it'll be whoever the winner is, hopefully, unless it's a whale, in which case that could be quite tricky.
You're going to tell us who you're voting for?
I will happily dress up as a whale and accept that BAFTA. I've always wanted a BAFTA. It will come down to the day before it closes, and I will let my children decide, I think, because I really feel this is a vote for the youngsters. This is their moment. You know, when my kids were watching the BAFTAs last year, this prize was the one that they got most excited about. Virgin TV must-see moment. They were like, I've seen all of them. That's all the stuff me and my mates have been talking about. So.
You did spoil Line of Duty for me, so, I mean, hey, that's fine. It means I can go on binge.
Well, you've spoiled all of Star Trek Outlander, whatever that was. I never even heard of. I can't even see it now.
I didn't. If you notice, I carefully structured it in a way that basically people know what is actually, you know, it doesn't spoil it for them. But
okay, you're a better person than me. I'm really sorry. Thank you.
I didn't say that. You said that. Thank you very much for this. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Marcus E. Acko.
And I'm Caitlin Moran.
Make sure you vote.
Caitlin Moran and Marcus E. Acko talking about the BAFTA TV Awards must-see moment. I really still don't know what to vote for, because all of those moments are amazing and there are so many other ones I would have picked. So many moments in Game of Thrones. I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones, and the must-see moment that BAFTA picked, I would not have picked. I would have picked the dragon coming back to life, not being killed. That was a way more heart-stopping moment, in my opinion. Did you see that moment?
No. I haven't seen very much in the way of Game of Thrones, I must admit, because, you have to have access to Sky, and I don't have it, you know. It's one of those things. It's really, really, really one of those things that you can't always have. Not everyone has access to Sky, not everyone has access to Netflix, not everyone has access to the internet. So, you know, some of these things everyone talks about, it's great to talk about them, but not everyone can do it. I mean, one of the reasons why that the whale moment resonates with lots of people is because they've all got access to the BBC and they can actually see it, if you see what I'm saying. So they all just go out and talk about it. That's the reason why it's probably there, if you see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And it is true that with these TV series where there are huge cliffhangers and it comes out on one platform before it comes out on another. There is a huge spoiler alert issue. And listeners, if you have not seen the episode that I just talked about, I deeply apologise and I really hope that you still love it as much as I did and have done in all the other times I've watched it since. But these must-see moments, they're really kind of communal moments, aren't they? I mean, that's
out of that
interview, what I really got was that it's something that you watch and then you want to talk about with people who have also seen it.
That's where social media has its sort of like forte, you know what I mean? You know that you can communicate with people via text, Twitter, blah, blah, blah. But also what you can do, you know, a lot of the time is get people into the same room with as you and sit down and watch it. But the trouble with that is you can't always do it when people are, you know, people are far away. They might be in another part of the town or another city. And people who have grown up viewing TV or viewing media with their loved ones, they sometimes miss being able to communicate that instantaneous communication that you get. But
absolutely.
I have found something online, I must admit, online called Rabbit Watch and Listen. And
what's that?
Well, basically, it's a piece of technology which you can get if you've got iOS, Apple, or if you've got Android, and a few of the web browsers
an app that where you watch TV?
Well, it's an app that you can share TV and it's all synchronized. So, for instance, if you wanted to watch an episode of Game of Thrones, you've got a video, what have you, you can actually create a room on this app and invite your friends in to this room and all sit down there at the same time and watch it. Wherever you are in the world, you can all sit down and watch it all at the same time. And it's got facilities so that you can either video chat whilst the thing's on, or you can actually just send each other messages on the side of the actual video itself.
So it's like Facebook Live, but for TV?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, do you remember those days where you've got the video and everyone's sitting around watching something on the video? All your friends sitting there on the video and someone wants to go to the toilet, you have to pause it? And
yes.
If you try to do that with loads of people spread out all over the place, you can try and synchronize it, but if someone has something like a phone call or what have you, it's all thrown out of sync because someone has to pause it and then everyone else has to pause it, or some people just carry on. This one, if you're in control, you pause it and everyone pauses.
So
at
you
the same
pause
time.
The room and the TV stops. Well,
that's
I'm gonna have to try that thing, because what I really miss about living at home with my family, actually, one of the only things I miss on a regular basis, I think, probably by now, is the Saturday night TV watching. You know, watching Strictly with people who you can be silly with.
Oh yeah, okay.
and you know those public vote programs like The Voice and X Factor and those kind of things. You really want to cheer people on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to be trying Rabbit Cast. Will you do a Rabbit Cast with me week?
Yeah, we'll try it out. Yeah, we might as well try it out. If the listeners want to, we'll try it out as well and feedback in.
Yeah,
and let us know.
Do if you have someone you want to watch TV with, do try Rabbit Cast and tell us what you think of it, because you know, I'm a bit lazy and I often just watch stuff by myself. But if it's worth it, this is something I might be able to.
It's a good idea.
Get into. Well, yeah, the TV also. Go and vote for the BAFTA TV Awards must-see moment. I think you can vote up to the 11th of May.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully the moment you want to see will come up.
Just to remind people, if you want Rabbit Cast, you can go to the website, which is www.rabb.it. So
www.rab.it.
Or you can download it on the Apple or Android Play Store or the App Store. They've both got they've got apps for it. Or if you have a computer, you can use it on Chrome, Firefox, and Opera. They've got web browser add-ons there for it specifically. So you can actually use it on a computer. If you've got facility, you can cast it to the TV or just use it on a computer, or you can just use it from the phone.
Right. Rab.it, here I come. well, there's, of course, the BAFTA TV Awards. There's all kinds of other categories, which we don't quite have time to go into now. But there are 20 categories, and go and have a look at them all. Some of the best TV there has ever been is being nominated this year. It's such a great year. But moving on, as we have to do, last week's episode of Shoot the Breeze was a really special episode. Marcus managed to convince Jamal Edwards, MBE, the CEO of SBTV and all-round entrepreneur extraordinaire, to come on the show and to talk to him about his stellar career and his success, but also about how he conquered his fear of failure and what he's doing to encourage other people to fulfill their potential.
It was an inspiring show.
It was a really inspiring show.
Really enjoyed listening to every single word, and you know, I've encouraged people to listen to that, to be quite honest.
Absolutely. Mm. Well, you should definitely go and listen to the whole show, but here are a couple of highlights from that interview.
How did you go from that point where you're working in Top Man on the weekends, going to college during the week, shooting videos in the evening, to hanging out with Richard Branson?
I think it was a lot of I found my gap in the market, and once I found it, yeah. At first I was a bit skeptical about it, but after that I proper just attacked it.
Okay.
I had hardly any sleep. I don't recommend that, but it's just a lot of hours I put in, and it was a lot of also finding out where people were turning up, even though I didn't know them, with my camera. I was known that I never was anywhere without my camera,
yeah.
Like, because you could never know who you bump into.
Yeah.
So like, even the time where I was at Mayfair Hotel, Kayla Rowan was upstairs. I was like, oh my God, I need her on the channel. So I managed to get that. It was just a lot of hustling,
okay.
As well. And support from people that I know as well.
Yeah.
So for the Richard Branson thing, like Ed Sheeran tweeted it out for me. Now from One Direction tweeted it out for me. Like, I got support from other people, which helped me win the competition. But then once I won that competition, I was then able to build a relationship off the back of that.
Sure.
And I feel like everyone gets opportunities in this life. It's how you use it. I could have taken an opportunity and I could have gone one way where I wouldn't have carried on a relationship, or I could have gone another way where I carried on and I carried on. So
yeah.
I feel like it's just about, there's opportunities everywhere. It's just about how you use them.
You are currently working on a campaign, a Fearless campaign, mm-hmm. with Amex.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so basically it was trying to get millennials to be fearless.
Okay.
And the reason why I got involved was because you never really get people that talk about their failures and that, and okay. I wanted to talk about the failures, but also want to talk about be fearless and go out there and chase your dreams. And I feel like when I was a little bit younger, I was a lot more fearless,
sure.
than now. Like now I'm thinking, I've got people that work for me,
yeah.
I've got so many things in my head that I've got to take account for,
okay.
when I'm being fearless, but yeah, I just wanted to promote that.
So are you afraid of failing?
Nah, because I failed loads of times.
Okay.
So it's like, I want to put that out there,
sure.
and give some people some, a little bit of belief.
Okay. So you're not afraid of failing because, if I understand this correctly, because you failed before, it didn't kill you, you got back, you carried on.
Exactly.
And that's why you're telling people it's okay to fail.
Yeah, and once you get over that first failure, yeah. you can just learn from it. And if you can learn from it and improve on it, that's the best thing.
Okay.
You can't fault that.
So when other examples of you failing, I know you mentioned the example of losing all that footage with Dr. Dre and Snoop, mm-hmm. and Jimmy Iovine. Did you have a support system to guide you or to help you when you failed? And let me phrase it as well, because at the point where you're with those people, that's you at a level of success.
Mm-hmm.
Before you got to that stage where you were important, when people still thought SBTV was a hobby,
mm-hmm.
were there any failures that you experienced at that point? And if there were, what sort of support network did you have that brought you back up?
I think when I first set up my business, and learning about VAT and tax, and my parents were quite savvy in that area.
All right. So, let me ask this question. What would you say to someone who says, well, of course, you were 15, you know, you had time to fail.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 45, I'm on my third marriage and my fourth kid. I don't have time to fail. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody got time for that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. What
yeah.
would you say to that kind of person?
I find you're always going to, you need to, wherever you unlock your potential at 15 or you unlock your potential at 60,
mm-hmm.
I feel like you'll unlock it at some point in your life. I feel like that's the vibe that I try and give out and talk it into existence.
Okay.
You know that thing of talking things into existence?
Yeah.
So like, my gran, she has been working all her life, and only now when she's like retired, she's set up her own knitting business, which is going really well. And she's like, I found my thing. 60 years, 660, yeah. Like, and she was afraid to fail. Exactly what you're saying. She was like, oh no, I don't know about this. Like, I don't have time, but she did it. And now she's like running her business. Okay. Like, and it's crazy, but you unlock your potential at different parts in your life. Okay. Yes, I did unlock it at 15, and it might carry on for however long, but someone might unlock it when they're a little bit older.
Marcus E. Acko and Jamal Edwards, MBE, talking about fearlessness and fulfilling your potential, and that it's never too late. It was a really very inspiring interview. That was just a taster of it. The whole hour-long interview is available as a podcast. I would absolutely recommend anyone to go and download it. So, and to download it, go to our Facebook page, Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, or find us on Twitter at STB_ResonanceFM. Alternatively, go to Resonance FM's Mixcloud page where you can stream it. Well worth a listen, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you hear what he says and you hear the sincerity behind what he's saying. And you believe him as well because, I mean, if you're 15 or 50, you can do whatever you like. And this is what a lot of people are saying. In actual fact, one of the things he turns around and said is that you talk things into existence. And that is something that a leading... let's say organization called Landmark has actually been saying to a lot of people, when you actually say things, you actually put them into existence. Until you actually verbalize something, you don't actually hear it out loud, and it's always a thought in your head. Once you hear it out loud, then you've put it into existence and you can actually go for it. I remember when I was around about 20, I decided, right, I'm going to do this. And a year later, that's exactly what I was going to be doing. I went to university, I got my own flat. These are the things I actually verbalised, and I agree with him, totally.
Wow. Well, that's great. I was just sorting out a small technical hitch there. I think we're back now. And yes, really... an inspirational interview, and also talking about another inspirational campaign. It's the American Express Fearless campaign, where lots of young, successful people are talking about ways that they have fulfilled their potential in both written and video form on the Huffington Post website. That's all available. That's at www.huffingtonpost.co.uk/news/fearless. I could carry on talking about Jamal Edwards, who I've got to, who I now have now a bit of a crush on for the rest of the show, but we should really move on. It's time for a musical interlude from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It's Come a Little Bit Closer by Jay and the Americans.
In a little cafe just the other side of the border, she was just sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to bad man Jose. In my new years I knew I should leave. Then I heard her say, big and so strong, come a little bit closer. I'm all alone and the night is so long. So we started to dance in my arms. She felt so inviting, and I just couldn't resist it. Just one little kiss, so exciting. Then I heard the guitar player say, vamos, Jose.
What a soundtrack. I mean, this is only one of several very good songs on this soundtrack. I mean, there's actually, I've got a bit of a thing for film soundtracks. I think we should do an entire show about film soundtracks and how they work. But aside from my own personal little obsessions, I wanted to just say again, for those of you who did not hear, how you can download the podcast of the interview between Marcus Acko and Jamal Edwards last week. You can download it from our Facebook page, Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM, or go to our Twitter page at STB_ResonanceFM, and the links will be there. Alternatively, you can stream it on Resonance FM's Mixcloud page, which is accessible from resonancefm.com.
Now, tell me, what film soundtracks would you like to actually listen to? Because there are loads of film soundtracks which are just straightforward for that film. This particular film soundtrack has got lots of different tracks on it from different artists. What kind of film soundtrack do you like?
Oh, a real mixture, actually. At the moment, I've got a massive soft spot in my heart for the Ready Player One soundtrack, because it's stuff that I heard from my elder sisters as I was growing up.
Okay.
So, yeah, from all different kinds of artists, but together by a particular genre or a particular time.
Okay.
But, you know, the orchestral ones as well. I remember my mum was maybe sometime in the late 90s, and she just played on repeat the Gladiator soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was a really rousing orchestral classical music.
Right, okay.
That kept her at her computer writing in a kind of heroic sort of a way. How about yourself?
Well, I remember one of the films I really like watching is Colour Purple, and I just remember that soundtrack. It is just brilliant. And it goes from jazz to gospel and just goes all over the place, you know, and it's a Quincy Jones soundtrack as well. You can't go very much wrong with that. But also I think of To Do the Right Thing, if you've ever watched that, Do the Right Thing, and the soundtrack, very hip-hop, very, very forceful, Fight the Power, and all those tracks in there as well. Just very varied, but sort of like individual forcefulness as well. So,
yeah, we'll have to spend a lot more time talking about music in films at some point. Perhaps we can get a film composer to come on the show and talk to us about how the process of putting together a soundtrack from original music and from existing music, how that even works. That would be so interesting.
That's interesting. I mean, I remember actually reading an interview with, I can't remember who it was, but it was to do with the film Car Wash, which someone said, well, if I remember correctly, what they said was, if you watch the film, you'll see that everyone is dancing in time with the music, which was unusual, and it is unusual because you don't usually have that. They usually overdub the music after the film's finished, but they were actually playing the music whilst they were actually doing the moves. So that's the reason why everything was in sync. It's one of those unusual films. But anyway.
Brilliant. Movies and music. What do you think? You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I am Laura Sampson, and with me in the studio is
David Campbell.
And we are quite jealous, actually, of Marcus Acko's sojourn in star-studded Tellyland. He'll be back with us next week. We've talked about BAFTA TV moments and also about how Jamal Edwards, MBE, conquered his fear of failure to become a hugely successful producer and general amazing person. But now let's get back to the movies. London is awash with brilliant film festivals. We're so lucky here. There have been dozens in the last few months alone on every genre you can think of, and we featured a few of them on the show here. The BFI London Film Festival, of course, the London Korean Film Festival, East Asian Film Festival. We were also lucky enough to chat to the director of last year's Underwire Film Festival, which celebrated the work of female filmmakers making independent short films. And this week, the East End Film Festival just started. But today, we're looking to North London, to Islington, my next-door borough, and the Unrestricted View Film Festival, which starts in just over a week's time. It launched in 2016 and celebrates independent filmmaking with a week-long programme of features and shorts across three Islington venues. The festival's creative director, James Wren is a bit of a Renaissance man. I hope you won't mind me saying that, James. As well as as well as organising and running the festival, he's also an actor and producer of film, theatre and comedy. He's busy on set for a new film right now, but we are delighted to welcome him as a virtual guest. We're lucky he agreed to chat to us anyway. So if the connection's still working, hello, James.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Please introduce yourself and tell us the TV show or movie you've watched the most times.
Hi, I'm James Brookley. I'm a City View Film Festival, and the movie I've watched most would probably be a toss-up between Guilty Pleasures, Field of Dreams, and With Neil and I.
Those are absolutely fantastic choices. I think from now on I might go with Whitnell and I too. You're here to tell us about the Unrestricted View Film Festival. So tell us, how did the festival come to be?
Well, it started in, the festival started in 96, but we've been running the Henna Chickens Theatre since in 2016. We've had a lot of sort of new writing, theatre and comedy, but as a filmmaker myself, it seemed that we had the perfect sort of studio space for screening room. And so, yeah, 2015 we put the cinema sort of into the space, and then thought, well, why don't we try a festival? And it went down so well with the filmmakers that, yes, it's been growing every year since.
So this is the third year of the festival, but the first year that you've had more than one venue of the festival, is that right?
It is, yeah. This year we've grown a bit. We've got some support from some lovely sponsors, and one of which, including, is the novelist Martina Cole, who's extremely generous. She's a big fan of the festival, and so yeah. So this year we're with opening night, we've got Screen on the Green, where we're showing Pick Up, starring and co-written and co-produced by Aidan Gillen of Game of Thrones and The Wire fame. And we've also got a gorgeous vintage mobile cinema, which is a lovely 22-seat cinema in the back of this purpose-made van. Now, it's one of the last, well, in fact, it is the last remaining cinema of its kind. There used to be a fleet showing corporate films. But yes, this one was saved from the scrap heap and refurbished, and we're lucky enough to have it this year at the festival.
So the vintage mobile cinema is going to be parked up in the courtyard of the Alwyn Castle pub, and it's going to be showing short films in blocks?
Well, we've got one sort of blocks of shorts like that at the Henna Chickens, but no, the mobile cinema is actually going to be showing individual short films. There's going to be a screening every half an hour in the evenings of the Thursday and the Friday, well, late afternoon to evenings of the Thursday and the Friday of the festival, and then all day Saturday and Sunday. So it's very cheap. It's only £3 online to come and see a short film from an independent filmmaker.
£3 only. People, there's no excuse. Just go out now, buy yourself some tickets, take potluck, do it. You're listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Laura Sampson, and I'm chatting to James Wren, the creative director of the Unrestricted View Film Festival. So, the festival is for completely independent films, so I imagine that the submission process is also fairly independent and you're quite hands-on about it. Would you be able to tell us a bit more about how the submission process for Unrestricted View works?
Yes, certainly. I think we had about a good, filmmakers sort of submit their films via their several sort of submission platforms, like Film Freeway or Without a Box, and they can submit their films to us via those. And we have a team of programmers watching, including myself. And so, yeah, I think we've got about 400 submitted this time. And so there's a fair bit of time spent watching these films. I really like this process. I think it's, you know, it's really interesting. And as a filmmaker, it's really educational to watch sort of all these, what your peers are doing, you know.
And the films in the festival range across all different genres and styles as well?
Yes, yeah, we have a sort of horror-specific festival later in the year over sort of Halloween period, but for this one, it's very much an unrestricted view. It's you know, the thing is, you know, have you got a story? You know, do you tell it well? And regardless of what genre, so yeah, this one is it's genre-free, if you like.
That's quite an exciting prospect. So, especially for the short film programmes, I imagine you'd be able to see work from all different kinds of filmmakers working in all different kinds of styles at all different stages of their career.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, you know, I think that's what I like about it. It's all different levels. You've got some fantastically made, well-budgeted films for independence mixed with, you know, someone who's got a camera and sort of £50 to pay their mates. And you know, they're all boxed in together. The thing is, you know, does the story come across? Are you telling a good story? And, you know, we very much take on board, you know, obviously if you don't have a lot of money to tell that story, then some corners have to be cut, you know, and some things aren't going to look as amazing. But you know, it's still a story told well.
I guess an advantage of having these locations for the screenings in and around pubs makes it easier for all these different types of filmmakers to mix and mingle with each other and possibly strike up new collaborations between each other in a fairly natural way.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you know, I think the socializing part of the festival is as important in some ways. You know, a chance for people to meet, you know, other filmmakers, you know, and you know, in a lot of cases, you know, we've learned from the previous festivals is that these people do end up working together, which is great. And, you know, and it's really satisfying to see that sort of creative push brings these people together.
What would be your top, say, five recommendations for what to catch to get a really good sort of overview of what the festival's about? Where would you start in the programme?
Well, I'd say firstly, the opening night pickups. I think Screen on the Green is still one of the most beautiful cinemas in London, I think.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
So, you know, I think that the whole experience, the start of the festival and the buzz that comes with that. I would also say at least to go and see a couple of things at the Vintage Mobile Cinema, because they're a real opportunity to see film in a completely different way as well, in a very sort of, you know, fun venue. And so, you know, I think both of those definitely. And at the Hen and Chickens, we're there all week. I think it's, you know, go and see a shorts program. Go and see, you know, a chance to see lots of up-and-coming filmmakers in one of the shorts programs. We've got some fantastic features. I mean, there's a great one called Guardians by Mark Brown, directed by Mark Brown. And that's a fantastic comedy about two guys who are sort of doing the Guardian rental scheme, you know, where people look after sort of uninhabited buildings while they're getting planning permission to do them up, and it's a really lovely twist on the story there.
Yes, I think we've talked to some people from the creative team on that on the show.
Oh, fantastic. And Hippopotamus is another great one by a very young British team. Consolation, lovely Polish film. The great story with a lovely twist to it. I'm really proud of this year's brochure, this year's lineup. I think it's we've got a really, really strong set of independent films, and please come along and watch them. It's a really good chance to come and see strong independent films that probably won't get a run in the big cinemas, because they're mainly, of course, dealing with the blockbusters, you know. But there's some wonderful stories, wonderful films, and, you know, and supporting independent film, you know, is something which I think, you know, people would like to do. So yeah, just, you know, do come along. It's very inexpensive, and you know, you can have a drink and watch a fantastic bit of cinema. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's a good chance, yes, to come and see some stuff, meet some filmmakers, make some friends.
James Wren, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today. We can't wait to mainline some of those amazing films.
Not at all.
The Unrestricted View Film Festival runs from the 23rd to the 29th of April at Islington's Screen on the Green, and also at the Vintage Mobile Cinema, which will be parked up in the grounds of the Alwyn Castle pub, and also at the Hens and Chickens Theatre the entire week. For more information about the Unrestricted View Film Festival and to book tickets, visit the festival website, which is unrestrictedview.co.uk. We will also post links on the Shoot the Breeze Facebook and Twitter page too, so look there as well. And if you have a question for James or any of the festival team, do contact them on social media Their Twitter handle is at UviewFF, and you could also contact them through Facebook or through their website. The Unrestricted View Film Festival is just one of the festivals I am looking forward to this year. The other one I'm really looking forward to is the London Indian Film Festival, which is happening in June. Ever since we had BBC Asia Network DJ Ashanti Omkar on the show, I've been a bit obsessed with learning a bit more about South Asian film. But yes, the Unrestricted View Film Festival is first. That was James, who is the creative director of the festival, talking to us there from a film set, with not very good reception, but we were very glad that he spoke to us anyway. So much to do in London, but we must move on. Next, it's time for our TV and film recommendations.
But before we do, give out a shout to Zachary and Jacob Acko.
Hi, Zach. Hi, Jacob. I hope you're doing well. We hope to see you soon.
Perhaps and enjoy we'll... your dinner.
Yeah. Well, now it's time for our TV and film recommendations. We've only really included Netflix and Amazon up to now, but today, if we have time, we'll include Terrestrial as well. Listening to Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. We are talking about our TV and film recommendations, and Marcus, our lovely anchorman, sent us in one of the things he has been watching and loving recently.
My recommendation this week is on Netflix, and it's One Punch Man. I've seen this before. I didn't know when it came onto Netflix, but it was recently brought to my attention that it was on Netflix. I'd already seen the first season. There's only one season available at the moment. I'd seen the first season before. As soon as I found out it was on Netflix, my kid and I went and just breezed through it a second time. It is a story of a character called Saitama, who wants to be a superhero for fun. He is basically he's the strongest superhero you could ever come in contact with. He's so strong that every opponent he defeats with one punch. So it becomes tiresome for him that there is no one to actually put up a challenge, that he goes through life with this zen-like state. It's incredibly funny. It's incredibly touching. In fact, while the show is called One Punch Man and he is the main character, the show isn't really about him. Each episode is more about the characters around him, some of the people who are trying to become heroes, because in the setting, it's set in a world where there's a league of superheroes, so they rank from C or D class to C class to B class to A class, and then an S class, which is the highest rank. And people are trying to get up that rank. And you also have these villains who are trying to come in and take over the world, and so on. And all these heroes have to go and face them and whatnot. And then One Punch Man or Saitama will show up and just destroy the villain with one punch. I'm not doing it justice, but you need to go and watch it. It's a manga, it's animation, manga animation on Netflix. It's in English, so you don't have to worry about translation. But it is an excellent show. Go and check it out. One Punch Man.
My recommendation is another anime film, actually. Anime TV series called Kokkoku on Amazon Prime. I have recommended it before, but I will recommend it again now I've seen the whole series. Go and watch it if you have Amazon Prime. David?
From BBC iPlayer, I recommend, as long as you get there before Wednesday, a documentary called Being Blacker. It's an eye-opener. And it's set in the heart of Brixton, but it's relevant. Everything about it is relevant.
And that's all we've got time for today. I'd like to say a big thank you to the guests we caught up with last week, virtual and non-virtual, and to David for keeping me company tonight. Marcus Acker will be back in the studio from his star-studded sojourn next week, and we'll be welcoming more brilliant guests then. But for now, this has been Shoot the Breeze on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Laura Sampson.
And I was David Campbell.
Thanks for listening.
Bye. We'll be right back.